You know, I know that Jesus is alive because I've read about it in the Bible. But you know, I also know that Jesus is alive because I talked to him today. And he's changed my life. So we know that he's alive because he changes lives. So Vivian Hayes is going to come up here and share how God changed her life through the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Let's thank the Lord for Vivian.
My heart is full this morning. I hope this testimony is an encouragement or helpful, but I especially want to encourage those of you who are parents or caregivers of your little ones. What you do makes a difference in the life of the little ones. And since we spoke about little ones, I wanted to make sure that I put that out. Because my mom is a very important part of my spiritual journey. She was faithful to take us to church every Sunday. Many Easters, my parents would visit their parents, my grandparents in North Carolina. This is a picture of my family. So we can worship together as an extended family for the Easter sunrise service, the Easter morning service, and blessedly, my parents skip the Easter afternoon and evening services. Because as a small child, for me, church was more like a marathon of sitting still or else. There used to be an old hymn that our church would sing, "Every day will be Sunday by and by." And as I sang that as a child, that didn't seem like an eternity in the good place. Every day would be Sunday by and by. I don't know about that. But so a lot of what went on in church, though I love black gospel music, a lot of the why we were there kind of went over my head. But what did not go over my head was my mother's faith, my mother's relationship with Jesus. She lived as though Jesus was a person right there beside her. She would marvel at the beauty of creation, of observing the colors within a soap bubble, the beauty of a flower, the miracle that is the human body, something that machines and AI cannot duplicate. And so she would always turn back to God. Isn't God marvelous? Isn't God marvelous? When she marveled at these little things. And she did this so often, our family nicknamed her Wonderment, because everything was a wonder to her, something that pointed to God. When she would pray out loud, it was not unusual to see her kneeling near her bed in the middle of the day or opening her Bible. When we had car trouble, she would pray out loud that Jesus would help, and Jesus would always come through. And that made an impression on this little heart. At the time, my home church only used the King James Bible as a Bible with beautiful language that I've grown to appreciate, but hard for a 12-year-old to understand. So my mom brought a Living Bible, and she would read that Bible at home. Now, even though I was raised Baptist, I figured that mom must be one of those saints that the Catholic Church talked about, that had that special connection with God that normal people did not have. And so when my mom bought that Living Bible and started to read it, and trying to figure out the secret behind my mom's connection with God, I would sneak into that room, that forbidden room called my parents' bedroom, and would read some of the pages, trying to figure out what's the connection here. I guess mom caught me doing this one day, and she bought me a children's Bible of my own for Christmas. One night, my mom made a delicious spaghetti dinner, and my eyes were bigger than my stomach, but I continued to eat and eat until I was miserable, and there was nothing I can do but lay on my bed and wait for my food to digest. So within reach of my bed was that new children's Living Bible. Reading was something I could do while laying down waiting for my food to digest. And I already read all my other library books, so I thought I would pick up my children's Bible and read the Gospel of John. And I started there because I heard that was a good book to read. Now, I was particularly a bookworm at this stage of my life, and I knew how to get lost in a book. But my experience reading John's Gospel was different. It was like I was there, watching Jesus minister to people, watching Jesus do miracles, listening with the crowd as he gave teachings. And even after I stopped being full, I kept reading because I wanted to find out how the story ended. Mind you, I'd been going to church all my life. I found myself crying when I found out this beautiful person, Jesus, was betrayed and crucified and died on a cross. And we know that's not the end of the story, but as I'm reading the end of the Gospel of John, and I've never sat down and read a gospel from beginning to end, except for this one time in my life. I had not done it since. And by the time I reached the end of the gospel, John 20, 31, as if Jesus was turning to me, and it suddenly got very personal. And on John 20, 31, it says, "These are recorded that you may believe that he is the Messiah, and that believing in him, you will have life." That's what my little Children's Living Bible read. In a way I cannot explain, it was like Jesus had turned to ask me a personal question. Did I believe everything I read about Jesus? Did I understand everything I believed about Jesus? No, but what I saw in the person of Jesus walking through those pages, I knew that I wanted to follow him. So right there, alone in my bedroom, no church service, no altar call, I decided that I want to follow Jesus too. I was 12 years old. Sometimes the smallest step in the right direction ends up being a big step. And that decision in my bedroom was an eternally big step. Now, I cannot say that from there on, and she lived happily ever after. No, I cannot say that because also in my teenage years, I would suffer from depression and have suicidal thoughts. And it was the Lord's intervention through a dream that saved me from hurting myself. And so if you don't think a young decision for Christ makes no difference, I ask you to think again. It does. So the Lord has saved me from myself on multiple occasions. I didn't do everything perfectly, but he has saved me from myself more times than I knew. I began growing by spurts and fits, but I started to grow by leaps and bounds when I had to be more intentional about my faith. After I left my parents' house to marry a Navy man who would take me from state to state, would plop me down in the middle of some place I don't know anybody and anyone, and it would be me and Jesus in the apartment while my husband was saving the world somewhere else. And so I started talking aloud to Jesus. I said, "Jesus, is you and me here," which is something that my mother would do. And we would find that we would need to intentionally connect with a fellowship, with people who would be a family away from family, a home away from home. And through those church fellowships, through prayer, through reading the scriptures and finding out more about the Lord and more about how he loves me, I experienced firsthand what I witnessed and appreciate about my mother's life. What does the resurrection mean to me? I lost my biggest cheerleader. My mom died of complications related to Alzheimer's. What she embraced by faith became sight on the 28th of March, 2023. The Passover Seder that our church celebrated before Palm Sunday coincided with what would have been her 82nd birthday. Maundy Thursday last week was the first anniversary of her passing. I had no trouble wearing black and talking about darkness the following day, which was Good Friday. It was a gift of God that these significant anniversaries happen during Holy Week so I could be reminded of the bigger eternal story that goes beyond our finite lives. On Good Friday evening, I was blessed, Ken, by your sharing about how difficult this season was for you. My heart resonates with yours. I was also blessed by many, but I was also blessed, Tim, by what you had shared, that little window that you were granted on your first wife's death of people wearing dazzling diamond white clothes. And my mom was a seamstress. She was a fashionista. And so I'm thinking, Mom really appreciates that upgrade in her wardrobe. And so I really appreciate what you shared with that, Tim. You know, and there's been a lot of little incidences, which I call God incidences, because nothing is a coincidence. God orchestrates it. But the most significant way he has assured me of life beyond this life happened the day my mom died. When I emailed the pastors and their wives about my mom's passing, they immediately email me back with love and support. Wendy O'Rourke, pastor's wife, wrote how Pastor Marty had just finished a Joyful Noise teaching on Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And she concluded her short email by writing out John 11, 25 to 26. Now, this was a big God incident for me. Wendy did not know that I had created a colored pencil doodle of the same verse, John 11, 25 to 26, as a teenager long ago. My mom loved that doodle so much, she had it framed and put it in our living room in a prominent place. It is still there. But what captured my attention with Wendy's email, that verse 26 ended differently than what I had on that doodle. I wrote, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." After reading Wendy's email, I opened my Bible to read the rest of John 11, 26, the part I did not include on that doodle. And just as strongly as I encountered the Lord as a 12-year-old through the pages of Scripture, through the Gospel of John, the words on the page spoke directly to my heart as though Jesus were standing before me. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Everything we do in this earthly life hinges on how we believe and live out our answer to this question. Do we believe that Jesus says that Jesus is who he says he is in the scriptures? Like my mom, I've entrusted my entire life and my eventual death to Jesus' care. Resurrection Sunday, that means that death did not have the last word on Jesus. Death will not have the last word on those who trusted in him to care for them. We say every week, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Amen, amen. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have a living hope. And so I hope that everyone within the sound of my voice and those online could be able to answer Jesus' statement that he made to Martha in John 11, as Martha did. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," Martha said. "I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.